I'll send out another calendar. Our next in service is October 8th. So the first Tuesday. January symposium, you'll let us know as soon as you get a date on that, okay? Seminary graduation, I've had several ask because that was kind of up in the air, is May 18th. It's still going to be the third Sunday next year in May. If you would like to continue to hold seminary, you certainly can. That is going to be up to each one of you, okay? The important thing is to try to get in as many days as you can while they're in school. So the stake is kind of leaving that up to you as teachers. I will be sending out, starting this week on Thursday, I will start sending out the emails for the reading reports. So if you started 2 weeks ago, just send me all those numbers, okay? Whatever your total number is for the weeks that you've had. Some classes didn't start till this week, others last week. So just send me whatever you got, and then we'll be on a weekly basis for getting those reading reports. Jake is doing up a newsletter. I sent you the one last month, and I saw the one just before I left, so I didn't have a chance. I'll send it to you for this month with his newsletter. Also, attendance. All those that Paula has received the registration forms for, they are entered in, and so as teachers, you can go in and go ahead and start entering in attendance. If she's not received your registration form, she needs those right away because you can't enter anything in until she has those, okay? And then we had a question about the Scripture Mastery event. Are we, aren't we? Yes, we are going to do a Scripture Mastery event. Talking with President Ogle, it is not going to be done on a tri-state basis like it's been done in the past, but they would like to do one, and so it's kind of my thing. I mean, they want me to get help, but they said whatever. So one of the things, I'm going to send out kind of an email to you guys for you to send me back ideas of what you would like to see from the Scripture Mastery event. We'll hold it in April. Don't have a set date for that at this point. Do we want to do games, kind of like the ones that we did before? Do we want a top dog competition? Do we want a dinner? Do we want a dance? What are some of the things that you would like to see from that activity at that time? So be thinking about that. Maybe talk with your students and see what you think their interests are, and I'll try to put something together for you. Any issues, any questions about anything? Yes, Jason.
Just a quick question about the Scripture Mastery. Is it safe to then just go ahead and have them using the keywords that are on the bookmark that Church Education sent?
Well, I looked at the Scripture Mastery cards. If you look this time, and I think it's the first time, they've actually got keywords printed on them.
Oh, on the cards?
On the cards themselves.
At
least the one I looked at did.
Okay.
They've actually got it printed, and it matches what's on the bookmark. So that's what I would say.
Can we go ahead and just plan those keywords, and
absolutely,
we're all on the same page?
Absolutely. I'll make sure of that, so we don't have two or three different things having learning those things. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions? So definitely go ahead and have them start learning the Scripture Masteries, and.
So
some of them are really into that.
You mentioned that the last 2 weeks of the school year, or two or three weeks, are up to our discretion. I know what my students want.
Right.
So I guess my question is are people going to meet those 2 weeks or not?
Anybody?
I think it's between you and your bishop.
Yeah,
whatever your bishop decides, let him be the good guy or the bad guy.
And I know we try to make things even throughout the state, but I think on this one, there may be some that say, yes, I want them to go ahead and continue to meet, where others, I think that's a good idea, is to take it up with the bishop and ask the bishop.
The seminary-wide standard is that 180 days.
Right.
And so that's not something that's arbitrary. We don't always meet that. In fact, the average last year was 165 days. So.
Okay. I guess I was told it was 160 days.
Well,
no.
That's what it's been traditionally. We've averaged about 160, 165. Worldwide, we shoot for 180. And that's why they gave us that number, is so that seminary in Illinois is not a whole lot different than seminary in Idaho or Taiwan. They want us every day the school is in session. But because so many schools are represented in the seminary class, you can't just follow one schedule. So that's why, with your bishop, do your best to figure that out.
Okay.
And in talking with the state presidency, I think they're thinking through it for next year, but for this year they said, you know, we will do the graduation on the 18th like we've always done, and then we'll revisit that during the year so far as carrying it further past that. There are some seminaries that hold, I mean, you've got several down in the Chicago area that they hold their graduation, but then they still meet 2 weeks afterwards.
Yeah.
They continue to meet for seminary because they're in school. And really, graduation only affects your seniors as far as getting those diplomas.
Okay.
Any other questions? All right, we're going to turn the time over to Sister Evans, Paula, who's going to talk about all the reporting requirements and needs.
Okay, first of all, we're going to talk a little bit about financial. The church is, my understanding, you can correct me, Jake and Earl, is trying to consolidate all the financials. Before, it used to be CES would have theirs, the building program would have theirs, machinery would have theirs, and all that kind of stuff. And we would write our own checks to reimburse you for your mileage, for your expenses, and things like that. Well, now they're trying to centralize all that, so all checks will be written from Salt Lake. So if you want to ask for reimbursement, then I have this lovely form, and you may, you know, you need to fill this out and give it back to me tonight if possible. You will see on there it has your typical, you know, address, name, and stuff. Then there's a second section that says your bank information. This is for direct deposit. If you do reimbursement and you don't mind, you know, and you want to be just direct deposit, as soon as you turn in your reimbursement, it'll be in your bank account the next day. With this, it has, you know, personal information on it. You give it back to me if that's filled out. I get it to Salt Lake. As soon as Salt Lake tells me they have it, then it's shredded. So you can't call me in a month and say, I forgot my account. Can you tell me what it is? Because I would have no idea. So if you want direct deposit straight from the church and get it immediately, you need to fill that out. Otherwise, you can fill out the top, the signature on the bottom, and then if you ask for reimbursement, it will go through the regular channels, it'll get mailed to Salt Lake, you may have to wait 3 or 4 weeks to get a check, because it'll take them that long to process it, get the checks processed, and then mailed back to you. So if you're not in any hurry, you don't want to give out your bank information, then do it that way. But we need one of these from every teacher. Whether they're going to give us the bank information or not, whether or not you think you're going to get reimbursed, because a lot of times you may think, oh, I'll just write off my taxes. And then you come to the end of the year, and you could get $500 back just from your traveling back and forth to the buildings that you're going in every day. That's a big chunk of change. Maybe I do want it. If we don't have this on file, you won't get paid. So they're just trying to centralize everything there is.
How do you get reimbursed? How can you actually get
There should be, was it in the folder? There should be a reimbursement
form. It'll be on the website as soon as we figure out exactly how they want that done.
Yeah. Essentially, we have a form right now that we use in this area, and we will continue to use this form until Salt Lake gets everything set up. This is still transitioning. So what they want to do is get all this information to the teachers as quickly as they can, get all that transitioned. It may not go into effect until next year. But they'll have you on file. And this year, with your reimbursements in December, you may still come from the area office and we'll do it the only way we did before. Depends on how long something takes to transition. But they're asking us to get this from the teachers
so they
can get it all set up.
At this point, it's still the same reimbursement form that's been used in the past?
Yes.
Okay.
But
so I didn't get, none of the new teachers have those reimbursement forms. You're saying Jay's going to put them
in. Are they in the folder?
No, I did not put those in there.
Okay, we'll get those to
and
you.
And so, we'll send stuff out to you.
And in the past, it's been like you turn in your reimbursements in December and May. With this new program, especially if you have it with your bank, if you spend $50 for some supplies, you can turn that in and they'll give it right back to you. so it won't have to wait each semester.
Does it all come to you?
We don't know yet. Well, you know.
Okay, so we still don't know.
Main thing is they ask us for these pieces
for
of paper.
Okay.
So whether you have to put your bank account in or not, we still need to have you fill it out and sign it. And if nothing is in your bank account area, you'll be written a regular check, and it'll be mailed to you. It may take a month as opposed to the next day. That's the only thing. And they overemphasized that it's very, very secure. This is how we do our checks and any of our reimbursements and stuff as CES employees. So we've had no problem with that. You see, you know. So you can just fill those out and get them back to your account. Any questions on that? Okay. The other thing that we wanted to discuss tonight was the WISE program. Some of the teachers from last year are familiar with it, some may not be. I have done step-by-step instructions on how to do this. You are to put in your attendance every Friday because they want it recorded weekly. And this is so the priests and leaders can get in there if they want to and see where the students are at with their attendance. And it's also for us and the area office, if we need to get in and see what's going on, we can do that. So we're going to go step-by-step with my wonderful Vanna White here. And if you have your iPad or laptop and you want to access your class, you can. Jason, you had a question?
I do, because I'm not very techy with this part of it. How do I get my iPad hooked to
The password is Pioneer 47.
Right, but
capital
where
P,
do I do that?
Access.
Right.
Okay. You're good to go. So your first step is you're going to go to your internet and go to si.lds.org. And Jerry, you had a Mac.
Yeah.
So sometimes, did you already talk to her? Okay. If you're working with the Mac system, sometimes it may be you might have to go into a little different Firefox or Internet Explorer thing for it to work. Supposedly, they got all this figured out and taken care of in Salt Lake, but sometimes we're still having some problems from there.
I have a Mac at home, and it works with Chrome. I don't know if it probably just doesn't work with Safari. So.
Okay. Well, I do mine through Chrome at home, and I don't have any problems. It's not a Mac.
Yeah.
So you're going to go to this website, and you're going to go up to this. And you'll see down here where it has a little WISE icon. Don't click that because then you're just going through extra steps. Just go right to the sign in and you'll sign in with your LDS account. Now, does everyone have an LDS account? If not, then you need to get one. So that's how you're going to access all your things. So Jake is signing in. And then this is what will come up. Then you see over there in the corner that little green WISE. Just go right to that. Now, you can go to these other things when you have extra time, because there's stuff about preparing lessons. If you haven't been on this website, it has a lot of good ideas, improving teaching, a lot of resources and stuff, but you can do that on your own if you want help. But just go to the WISE, click on that, and you can come right in. And Jake's shows all this stuff. Yours will only show Buffalo Grove State Seminary, I think.
Yeah,
it does.
Okay. Because Jake and I, we can't see what you see because we have administrative, so we're not always sure we're telling you the right thing. So you go to that, click on that, and something like this will pop up. And that's your program name. And up here at the top, you've got different tabs. You want to go to your classes tab. And this will come up. And here's all the teachers, all the classes that we have. Now, some of you have teen teachers. So the name that's on here is alphabetical. So Gail Hansen, H becomes before our R for Russin, so we're not discriminating against you. But
yeah, I'm used to it.
Same thing with first word, Selena George is up there. So you find your teacher name and you click on that. And we're going to click on Laura Lee's class because she told me I have permission. So you click on that and your role will automatically come up. So now, since we, on this program, not knowing when all the classes were starting, I started the year on August 1st, and it's ending on May 30th. So even if you meet after seminary graduation, quit on May 30th. that would be your last class, because otherwise it'll mess up the whole program. So you'll need to go in, because this will come up, and you'll say, okay, we didn't start until maybe August the 12th. So you'll have to take your little thing and click up here, left click it, this little screen will come up, just click the bubble that says cancel the class, save, and all of a sudden that date's gone. So it's not even in your role anymore. And the reason this is important is because it affects your percentages. So you'll need to go through, and every date that you do not that you have not met, click it and get rid of that date. Tina?
Because different classes are going to hold school, especially when you get into snow days and things.
Yep, that's so what's on here. The reason I'm telling you how to do this is the only holiday, when I set this up, the only holidays I marked were Thanksgiving, Christmas, Labor Day, and I might have done the one in October, Columbus Day. But I didn't mark any other holidays because each school has different ones. So you know your own calendar, and you can go in and get rid of those days that are not there. The other thing you'll see on this, if you'll scroll down the other way, this ends January 17th. Can't go past that. That's because starting this year, we're going to be having a semester system. Last year, it was all 1 year. That's how it's been in the years past. Under the WISE program now, we're going to be doing 2 semesters. So at the end of this semester, which will end January 17th, you will have to give me some grades, which is something new. And we'll.
So about quarter grades?
No, your quarter grades go to your students and the parents.
Okay, that's what they say.
This will be the end of the semester grade. We're still figuring out how it's all going to work. And you will get some instructions on what to do as this semester comes to a close. So that's the middle of January, and then the second semester starts January 19th, and that'll be up to the end of May. So you know, why does it not go all the way? So we've gotten rid of a few dates. So this class maybe is starting on August the 8th. You've had these kids are all in. You've got to mark the attendance. So go up to this tab here. Oh, first of all, this one's already, you're already set. Most of you on your computers, when you get in there, and you'll see last year's kids in there. That's because over here, 2013-14, yours will say 12-13, most likely. You'll need to go up there, left click it, you'll have the 2 dates, and you need to make sure that you got 2013-14. It'll only be 2 dates. Click the 13-14, then it'll come up with this again. Go back in and get your name and get your class. And then when you go in again the next week, it should stay right on 13-14. You only have to really do that step one time. So if you're having trouble and can't find your class, it could be because your date is wrong. Then you got these in. You got rid of some days that you didn't need. Go up to this little thing here. And when you click that, a little box comes up. Okay, most teachers want to mark all the kids who are present. Pause that for a minute. Come over a little bit. What's up? Most of the time, your thing will look like this, but because I have just already put in your students and it has August 1st, they're automatically marked absent. You'll have to go in and change that after you get rid of the dates you don't need. You'll have to go in and change those to meet what your thing is. So you'll go up here and click the P. So every time now that Jake touches one of these boxes, it's going to make a student present. So going down to the blank ones over there.
Trying to make a
whole
day. Trying to make a
smile
at things.
Do some over here. I know what this is, but go to the link. Yeah. Because this is why, after you get through this, I mean, this you can pretty well easily do because you've got the present and then the absence is already there. So you can just leave that if they were absent. So, but then when you're doing your other ones, you're coming in here, okay, I've marked present. Those are the kids that were present. Then you've got to come back up. Go to your AB, which is your absence, and now you can start marking the ones who were absent those days.
If you have all students that are, if they're mostly absent or mostly present, you can do it this way. So say you had 2 students that were absent, you could mark the 2 that are absent and then set all the unmarked cells to present, and then...
Oh, that's lovely.
It's,
yeah, if you have a lot that are always there. So that's another way you can do...
Well, except that didn't want to work for.
I know, because we're your September 5th. This is only.
Right.
The other thing that's up here is your M. That's where your day's made up. So you can go back and change these as students make up their days. Go back and change them, and as you do that, I mean the other one on there is tardies, and I would suggest definitely to keep your tardies too. You know, because if it says tardy, it means they were there. They're just tardy. Because then you can look at this and go, gee, that student is tardy every single day. We need to do something about that. Maybe they need to do some makeup work because they missed too much of the class.
Does that come out when the bishops print off the reports?
Yes.
So there's the advantage, too, is that a bishop's going to look at these reports and say, wow, we have an issue with tardies in our class. We need to do something about it. And you can get help from your bishops that way, too. So.
Okay, so even though he's done all this, if you'll notice over here in the red, nothing has changed. That's because none of this will change until he pushes save. No matter how much work you do on this, if you don't push that save and you click out of it, it's all gone. You got to start over again.
Once you save it, can you go back and change something?
Yes. So if he pushes save.
Oh, I have to get rid of these.
Yeah, he's got to get rid of these here because it's not. It will not let you go past. You have to do. These are all in black, and these are gray. So you're only able to do the black ones. And,
should be able to do it today.
I know, September 3rd should be on there.
Yeah.
So so it goes and pushes save. Did you do that again already? Okay, now if this comes up again, that's because...
I'm
going to click that out.
What is it saying? We can't.
It says it's an error. It's
oh,
not working.
It's an error. Okay.
Go back this way.
Yeah.
Scroll back this way.
Error.
Yeah, she's from the
South.
Era.
ERA. Era. New era. Okay, go back. You've got something that's not.
Yeah, something's not quite right.
Yeah, it that will come up if you have a day, if these days don't change colors, and if you have some students you missed or something, you will get that E-E-R-R-O-R message. Just like when I say Mira, Era, and Southern.
When I get that, I usually just do cancel. So, like, I'll do one student and then save, and then do another student and then save, so that you don't do a whole block and then have it.
Because
well, most of the time with the seminary, because he's got institutes, so most of the time, if you scroll back, you'll find one or two days or something that you missed putting an A, B, or a P, or an M. You might have one little square that's not right. And you have to go back and get them all. This is a big classic.
Yeah, so
anyway.
See, it changed. So I just hit cancel. It undid everything I did. I just added 2 days, and then that's reflected over here. So they've now been there 16% of the time.
So that's what this is good for you teachers, that you can look immediately and know this student is below 80%. I better start helping them now before they get down to 40%, and then it's too. Casey, you had a...
Yeah, is there? And I mean, I can see that it says, just like last year, attendance percentage. Is there a way to for it to calculate tardy percentages?
No.
At all?
Nope, that will be you. But if you have a kid who's got a lot of tardy on there...
I mean, we can see them. I just, you know...
Some teachers have the kids come in and mark what time they show up.
Yeah.
And you can look at that and see they miss 20 minutes every day. Or
right.
They miss 3 minutes every day.
Right. It's just handy. Like, this shows us, you know, 5 out of 13 days they've been gone. And if, you know, it lets, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Rather than going back and counting each little
right.
Cell.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't have that problem. So that's essentially how you do your attendance. I tried to do it step by step here so you would know, Orly.
How many tardies equal a...
That's your discretion.
Yeah, I had a lengthy conversation with your stake president about this. And tardies are an issue, and it's one that if you put a solid number on, that becomes the norm. If a tardy is 10 minutes late, then they show up 9.5 minutes late.
So if you have a student coming and they're consistently 10 to 15, 20 minutes late, and they think you're still getting credit, then you might need to, after a month, sit down with them and say, you know, I've totaled up, and you've missed like 5 days where you miss class sessions. I would like, as a teacher, to have you do a little makeup for some of those to do.
What we've been encouraging is first talk with the student, then talk with the parent, then take it to your bishop or counselor and your bishop. And
if it's for chronic tardies, now you have to decide what that means. Is that 5 minutes or is that 15 minutes?
Also, you need to look at each student individually.
Right.
Is it the student's fault?
Right.
Or are they picking up somebody that makes them tardy every single time?
Or,
right.
Each of you has different things. Some teachers do. They keep track, and it's like, no, if you're, you know, if you're consistently 10 minutes a day tardy, you're going to do some makeup days. And, again, that's up to you what the makeup is as well.
Yeah, and one, the reason I say each student is because I taught a student who was constantly tardy. He had no parental support. It was not his fault. He was walking through the snow to even try to get to seminary because his parents refused to bring him and stuff. We gave him some slack, whereas another student he may not.
Sure.
So that's a teacher discretion, and if you need counsel on it, I would talk with your bishop. Because this is a priesthood program now. So this is essentially what we need every Friday, and then at the end of the semester, you will be getting some instructions about what I need with the grades. And then this, and the kids, please tell them, makeup work needs to be done during this semester. Because my understanding, once that semester is over, I close it out, I cannot go back and change this.
Is that new this year?
Yes.
That's definitely
I can go to the students' records and change it individually on a student's record, but it may mess up what the priesthood is looking at with their percentages, because their percentages come from this and not from the individual student record. So please, if they're
it's not the end of the world,
nope.
But it's a lot better if it happens before the end of the semester.
They need to make up first semester, make it up during first semester, so that every student is at least 80% by January 17th. And then next semester they can...
I just had a student from the Wilmette Stake who did 71 days of makeup work because he received his mission call to Brazil, and Brazil is one of those countries that now asks for evidence of religious education. And so we told him what he would need to do, and he owned up and did 71 days of makeup work.
And Brazil has the transcripts from the seminary. That's what they use as their official transcripts.
I have to sign them, get them notarized. It's a pretty... in-depth process.
So does it say on there when the quarters end?
January 17th.
Yeah.
Shows at the end of the year.
This semester?
Quarters, no. Quarters are generally the end of October and then January 17th. So quarter-wise,
Does quarter even really matter?
For report cards for the kids,
well, for their
but not for me.
Cards,
not for me.
Because different schools are going to end on different days.
Yeah, but we generally say the end of October for all seminary, first quarter. Doesn't matter if you have more days or less days, and then it'll be January 17th. We just do a blanket.
And that's just a progress report for the parents.
Yes.
That's
correct.
Nothing that we're reporting.
Correct.
Right.
End of the semester is what you report to me.
We
that
also
way,
like
yeah.
the quarters because it gives the kids, if they're a little bit behind in the scripture mastery, it gives them something to
Sure.
Yeah, so what works best for your class. But please keep your parents apprised at least quarterly, if not monthly, so that when it comes to be the end of the semester and their student is below 80% or becomes the end of the year and all of a sudden their student is not going to graduate because he doesn't have enough attendance and other things, the parent is not surprised that, what? Why didn't you tell me? We've had that happen before and parents are not very happy. So communication with parents is very important. So do we have any questions about how to do your attendance? So by this Friday, everyone will have all their attendance in up until this Friday.
I'm sorry, but can I do it on Saturday?
Yes.
What?
There's no way I'm going
to turn. We were gearing for Friday, but I will take it up till Sunday night. Because the new month, I know when you work and stuff. Do it whenever you want, but that weekend, sometime in that weekend.
Can I just ask how other teachers handle the... having two classes, or actually two high schools, and one high school's closed for the day, the other high school's open. We've been giving the kids that come on that day, if they didn't go to high school that day, that they get extra credit.
Count it as the day's made up.
Yeah.
So
and if they miss the day, they didn't come in, they don't. It's not marked as an absence for them. Is everybody handling it the same way?
So I would mark it as absent, and then if they do show up, go back and make it the day makeup.
You can do makeup on here.
But we don't want to count it against them because they didn't have to go to high school for that day. So we haven't been counting.
So you still have seminary whether they have high school or not.
Well,
right, but
so
we require the people that are going to high school to come,
come that day.
And the other kids not, because they don't, they didn't have that.
So you're not counting them as absent?
Right.
Because I have the same situation.
Yeah, I have 5 high schools, and I just go, if we have 3 that are in session, we have class. And
but what he's saying is for reporting purposes,
yeah,
if I understand correctly, is what you put down, you've been saying, if the student doesn't have school, I think I'm hearing you word, and they
present.
Don't come,
you
mark still them
mark
them
anyway.
Present because they didn't have school. If
oh,
they do come, you mark them present, but you also give them an extra makeup day.
Different people do different things. I mean, it was amazing to me how our All-American, you know, Jabari Parker down on my ward, he wouldn't have school, but he would still come to seminary. Just because he didn't see the two as necessarily being married. But that takes character that...
Yeah,
we have
kids
like
that.
Yeah.
With our youth.
Well,
he's gone.
He's in North Carolina now.
So what you're saying, Jake, is that's up to the teachers.
I'm saying it's up to the teachers, but let's set our expectations high and then deal with things as they come up.
Whatever the teacher decides for their class, and
you have
myriad
my full
of
support,
things,
however you choose to handle
that. That's your decision,
that.
No matter if it's makeup work or parties, or you are the boss or the dictator, and we must do whatever you ask us to do for your support.
This is a technical question again. I thought last year we could take a block of classes and cancel them.
You mean a block?
Meaning not, we didn't have to go day by day.
Yes, you could, there's another way to do that.
Okay.
If you want me to confuse the new teachers.
Oh, well, we can chat later.
I'd be happy to make a video on that.
Yeah, and
I just remember being able to do it last year.
Okay, if you go to schedule for class.
That's what it's at, okay.
Yeah.
I knew there was.
And I will tell you, and then you can go through and click and unclick, but I will tell you sometimes, so like if these, I'm really going to mess up your class for a little bit. See, like, so now he's clicking those, they were purple, now they're white.
Yeah,
that means
just
oh, what am I doing?
Get rid
yeah.
of
September. Let's go back to
get rid of all of August.
Sorry about that.
So you didn't meet at all in August?
Today.
They just started
oh,
today.
You're late, first thing. Okay, so this is a way they could get rid of all of August.
Leave you guys.
You could save. Okay, this will happen sometimes, and I have found that when we do use this sometimes, it will not pull it out of the thing. So you can try this and see if it works. If it doesn't, then just go
day by day.
The day by day will definitely do it.
Sure.
I've experimented with this calendar some, and sometimes it works. Sometimes it'll take some days, but then all of a sudden it's made it a holiday and it's good.
Yeah.
So
okay.
This one, this part is not always the best way. But if you did not meet it all in August, go ahead and try that.
Okay.
That's under schedule for class.
See, now it's working for... I'm just doing a week at a time. And it's taking it.
Yeah, see, so it's not... So for your class, August is gone.
Perfect.
So for select one, if y'all want to go that...
I've
The other thing up here is you can look. These are schedule details. I don't think you'll...
I don't even know what that does.
That's for, like, release time when they have assignments and stuff.
Register,
you can't do anything with this. That can only be me. You can't do copy class attendance. You can
read what papers.
Oh, this is like where I have to put their grades in. We can go back. And once this is closed out, you can't change it.
Hold on, you lost this because we went into the monthly and now we can't get back to our classes.
Oh, attendance.
Oh, go back up to attendance.
Thank you very much.
So the only other thing you may use on this for the attendance, is besides putting your thing, is up here. It says print. Okay, get out of grade book.
Which one do you want?
Go to
attendance.
Up here, you can print a class roll. So if you want to print a class roll for your students, you know, and you to use each month, or if you have some other way that you want to do it, I will tell you, we still need the paper rolls. So I've got to have something in paper at the end of the year, end of each month, however you want to give it to me.
So we should print that and mark it? Is that what we
yes.
do? Print off?
Oh.
Okay.
You can print those off.
Or your own.
Or your, I do my own.
Or if you have something.
Because I don't like this. I don't like the cell phones on there.
But if you have some extra,
you still need to print it?
Yeah.
It's not just twice.
So, yeah, why do you need that if you have
Because we have to keep it in our files for like 7 years.
But if we print
that's why you go to an electronic.
Yes, print this. You can do it. You can mark it, print it off, and give it to us.
I've been
we're
making
working,
that argument for years.
Yeah, we're working to because this is web-based. We're slowly trying to get away from having to retain records, paper records. I can take your rolls and retain them electronically, but if something happens to my computer, all of your things are lost. So for another year, just go through and print off all the rolls, give them to me that way, however you want to do it, so I've got something in my paper files.
For those of you who find this as ridiculous as I do, I've been fighting on this front for years. And there was finally, I saw something in the revision of the policy manual where there was allowance made where you can buy a jump drive now. So I think we're getting close.
Slowly but surely. And I will just honestly tell you, I have never had to use the rolls.
Yeah,
since we had C-Star or Star. I have had to find people, but I found them through registrations and stuff. But the way the WISE program is set up now, I think this is going to do away with having to keep paper. But this is brand new to most of the world this year, and they're going to take another year to a transition before they say no more paper.
How often do you need that? I'm sorry.
Okay, you can give it to me. You can send it to me once a month.
Okay.
So you send it to me the end of the semester. Give them all to me the end of the year. All that happens is they go into your file, and your file is filed in my file cabinet and stays there for 7 years.
Can they scan it and send it?
You can do that if
you
want to scan
it.
If you want to email it to me, and I'll print it off, I'll be happy to do the email. No faxing. I don't have a fax machine. They did away with that. So scan it, email it to me, however you want to do.
Why can't we fill out WISE and then print it?
You can't. And then send it to me.
Okay, that's easy.
But I won't go in and print it because I need to know that you're done.
Yeah.
That's what I would always do.
I was going to say, so we could
come
back, email it, mail it, or can we walk upstairs and just tell
you? Can just leave it on my table.
All right.
And I'll on my chair. Make sure there's a cookie or a muffin or something with it.
Always has bribery there.
Okay, any more questions on the attendance?
For those of you who are interested in it, in this week's newsletter, I put together just a very, very blank roll. It has nothing on there. For those, it doesn't even have dates. But for anybody who just wants it as basic as it gets, it's available if you want to get it.
Is it a PDF? Or is
yeah,
it
it's a PDF. So,
okay, so
you just click on right there, up it comes.
Yeah,
we'll
go back to where it was.
Jay, can you do it as a Word document so they can just add their students' names in there and print it off every time?
Or you can just print it off. If you do it printed off WISE, their names are all on there.
Well, but if they print the one he just put up on BroJug, that's a perfect one.
Yeah, but this one already has dates and names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it also has
that
their phone numbers and all that.
I was really worried about the teachers that don't have names in yet just for this week.
Which this take is pretty well on top of.
Right.
Now, this is all the attendance. When do I need this? Every
month. Once a year.
Every so often.
Every Friday. Every week.
Oh, every Friday. Oh,
every
I think of the printed sheets.
What do
no.
we think
need,
about
like
it?
Once
yeah.
a month.
Every Friday you need to fill this in. And if it's a problem for you, contact me. Tell me the numbers and I'll do it for you. I don't have any problem doing that. Except for the Crystal Lake First Ward. Second Ward, you're on your own. and when you're in here, just for fun, if you want to look at some of these other... Like, this is students. This is all your students' information for your class. You just write in a name. It'll give you, or click one of the names. And then it gives you their address, their birthday, how old they are, you know, who their parents are and stuff. That's just, you know, if the state clerks have this up to date, then that would be your most current information for our students, especially unless active or something. Then you've got reports. You will use very few of those, but you've got birthday lists for your class. You go in and just click on your teacher name, and you can print your birthday list. If you want to, a lot of times the bishoprics don't really get into this too much yet. I think the state is trying to do better with that. You can go in And you got class roles, class of the daily, the absences, you know, and you can take it to your bishop and say, look, this is what my kids are doing, and print it for them and let them see it. It keeps it cumulatively done so you can help with them.
I would encourage that you go to your counselor over seminary and ask them to have the ward clerk every single week print off and just put it on the bishop's desk. Then the bishop would have that information. He doesn't have to always be thinking about it, but he would have that information, or at least once a month, or once a month is probably better. And then he would be able to see what's happening. Then when he does interviews with students, with all the youth, we can talk to him about seminary and what's happening.
And I will say that you may not have a lot of these on your report thing because some of this is administrative. We also have administrative and graduation and things like that. This is a great tab. Help. If you're confused, click on it, and it'll help you or confuse you more. But his is showing a lot of stuff that I have to do, so it's doing that. So just play with that. Play with the SMI website. Do what you need to do. And hopefully this is step-by-step so you can go through it. So.
Just one question on the year. It looks like most of mine are wrong.
As in sophomore, junior, senior?
Well, it just says S1, 2, 3, and 4, and some are blank. So I'm wondering, it's not necessarily what year they are in school, it's what year they are in
school. Yes, it is what year they are in school.
Oh, in school.
And I just got your thing today, so I've not gone through.
Okay.
Once their registrations are over, I generally take October and try to go through each student and update the correct year that you have told me that they are. So S1 is freshman, 2, sophomore, junior. So if it's blank on your students or it's wrong and you already know that, shoot me a quick email and I'll go in and fix it for them. Otherwise, it'll be October, November if I go through one by one.
No, and that's fine. I was just more thinking of at the end of the year for those that are graduating.
Yes,
right.
I need to have the correct dates.
Right, but some of them that are seniors aren't necessarily graduating from seminary. They're getting a certificate.
Correct.
Where is that recorded?
That's when we get to the graduation thing. And I go to each student, and the student will either say 1, 2, 3, or 4.
Okay.
And that's when I go in, and I'll give you all that information in advance. But it'll also is
so
me putting it on WISE, and then when that student comes up for next year, going to Brazil, it'll show he only got a 3-year certificate, so he did not graduate. So that student had to do 71 makeup days to graduate for Brazil.
Okay.
For teachers that are new, Paula always sends out stuff in like April. That are forms that the kids sign that say, you know, this is how many years I've attended. And then that's why April and the first part of May are the same for us, just trying to make sure that everything's correct for all of those students.
And I'm the one that does all that graduation stuff. But what I need from you is check your students like Joe did. And if the year is wrong, shoot me an email so I can get it. If you will shoot it to me, then I can correct it easier than me trying to go one student at a time. Trying to do it. So if you know the ones that are wrong, shoot me the email and let me correct it. Don't tell me tonight. Any other questions about the WISE program? I'm always available. If I don't answer the phone or shoot me an email or whatever, I will get back to you. Jake is also pretty much available when he's not teaching. So ask us. Go to, you know, with this kind of stuff, if Tina doesn't know the answer, come to us. We'd be glad to help you and walk you through and figure out what's wrong with your computer.
Yeah. Okay, Paula.
Wait, Pat's got it. I'm sorry.
I know that last year when we were trying to do report cards, report cards are going to do percentage, class miss and percentages and stuff. And this thing did not give us those numbers. It looked at all year. So is it fixed yet?
So what I did is I just switched back to the previous year. I'm going to see if I can go into an old class and see exactly what it's giving us. Who should we pick on? Who's not here?
Troy as well. No, that's not an old
one.
You don't want to be a class.
You can pick on me, though. Go ahead.
You want a big class? The Taylors, George and Gina. Only have two.
Okay.
Yeah, they had 4, but 2.
So what that would do is you would click on your... So you could go to reports. Hopefully this is going to work. And come down here to report cards.
There was a date section in the fields, but it didn't work.
Hmm.
That's what it works.
That was the problem, huh? Because we know that I think what the problem was last year was with the report cards, everything has to be closed out first before it will generate a report. So it's probably going to work now because last year is completely finished. But what now that we're on the semester system, after January, getting my J months all mixed up. After January 17th, we get all the information to Paula. She inputs it, closes out the semester. Then we can get report cards out that should have auto. Yeah, it automatically populates like this.
This says report card, but it's like a transcript for the student. So it takes how many years he's done. You can try use this if you want, but I would suggest doing your quarterly with the parents communication, either those little green ones, or send an email to the parents or something.
So the attendance role, you know how it does that.
Yep, it doesn't separate it.
It doesn't separate. It's looking at the
full year. Cumulative, correct.
Cumulative.
But it's looking at the semester.
The semester, right.
And then starting in January.
It'll be good for us for the semester, but not for the
year. Yes.
Correct.
In January 20th, it'll be zeros again because it's a new semester. So in January, after we close out the semester, and we'll shoot an email about that, you'll have to go up to here where your thing is, and then we'll have different terms, and you'll have to go down and say term two to get into it.
Quick question. So if we did attendance from August 20th to October 30th, which is a quarter.
That'll give it to you then. On October 30th, it'll give it to you in that red box.
Okay. Because last year it did.
Then once you keep going, then it'll mess it up.
Right. So for example, the...
Well, we could do...
For October, the first quarter, it'll work. For the quarters after that, it won't because it's the whole year.
you could
figure it out.
Okay. Yes, so here it's cumulative through the last day of class that you had.
Yeah.
And so by marking this poor student absent, all of a sudden they're not getting credit.
Did you see you had one
slip?
Mm-hmm.
On the main sheet for each of the students, and I know we talked about this last year, it shows their prospective graduation year. But on a lot of the students, it's way off. So, like, her son, what grade is your son?
He's a junior this year, graduates 2015, and this is showing 17.
Okay, this was a problem last year. So, with all that was going on last year, I corrected all of the seniors only. Because it was too many to correct 300 kids. So, I need that information from your teacher, from you as teachers, and I can go in. And I'll correct each student individually, and I'll concentrate with the seniors again first, and then as I get time, I'll do the rest of them.
So only you can change this?
Yes.
Okay. And can you take that from the registration that we gave
yes.
you?
Yes.
The sheets? So,
yes.
Okay.
But are you saying you would like the teachers to go in and look at each one of their students and see, make sure that the graduation
that would be helpful.
Correct year okay. shoots you an email to say these five students... This one's graduating in 16, 17. 15.
Otherwise, we'll pick it up at graduation.
At graduation.
Yeah, you may miss somebody and everything
up. Clear it up.
Just so you know, when they transferred everything from C-Star to WISE, it messed up all of the graduation years and put everybody like them. So we have concentrated on seniors last year, and we'll be glad to getting. So the freshmen that are coming in this year have the correct dates.
Actually, thank you.
Freshmen?
Well, let me just double check again. Yeah, it's showing a freshman graduating 2016.
No, 2017.
But that's still not.
Yeah,
16-17
will be a senior in 16-17. This is 13-14. 15-16.
14-15.
It would be
15-16. 16-17. Right? It's 13-14. Then 14-15, 15-16, 16-17.
Okay, yeah. So
he's
graduating
right.
Yeah, 17.
Okay.
Because I put all the freshmen that same year.
Oh, I'm going to
miss
them
all.
No, that's good.
I'm good at making mistakes, so don't.
I'm so sorry.
Call me on it. It's okay. I'm not embarrassed or humbled by. Any other questions about this program right now? I'm available. Jake is available. Tina's available when
Does
she's not out of town.
Paula's email?
Email or phone.
Or phone.
Hopefully you should have it. I should have put it on here.
Any what?
Oh, you don't want to shop.
Oh.
A what?
But I don't know, can I not do
it? Same thing.
Going
to schedule for a class.
Which we did.
Not the details, the schedule for a class. Okay. And then click over here on class session. And then you can add them back.
Mine doesn't work either.
Yours doesn't work either.
So you have superstar permissions. So.
I'll tell you, we're tied this much.
That's why I don't like
okay. That may be a permission issue, Paula. It may be a permissions thing.
It doesn't allow me to either.
I mean, let me, Joe.
You know what?
Change yours
okay,
real fast
let me tell you what happened. They switched the permissions on the teachers halfway through the year. So at the beginning of the year, you could do this calendaring, but halfway through the year, they took that away from the teachers, and they can only do it daily.
Which one are you, Joe?
That's not me. The other one. Huh?
It'll work on you
yeah,
because you're administrative.
Right.
It won't work on him. I just remember that now. Because at the beginning of the year, we could do the monthly and get rid of all the classes. But they switched it with the permission things. And all of a sudden, teachers can only delete one day at a time.
You may have to log out and log in.
Okay.
I don't know, but let's see if that fixed it for you.
Yeah, that was it.
That was it? Okay, it works, so it's a permissions thing. So I'll just go in and...
She deleted some classes, she can't have a back.
Yeah, and I don't know why it would let you do one but not the other. So I'll go tick that box for everyone. So that they can add in classes.
Okay, I'm done. Jason, it's all yours.
Okay.
Jake,
turning the time over to you.
Fantastic. If you want, take 3 minutes. Stand up, stretch your legs, shake out the techie cobwebs.
I'm going to. You can all just
stretch.
Yeah, you can just sit there and look at me if
stretch
you want. But
the,
I've got a
stretch
up
over here.
Yeah.
Stretch
I need these back. Unless you don't have one, then you may keep yours. Unless you have yours with you, then you don't need to borrow one. I give early morning rides in my ward on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Like,
so
I
think it's
a Harlan.
Like
that young man's president has a Harlan gives rides to senior students every day. But how can we present that in an exciting way?
In a what?
In an exciting way.
In an exciting way?
Yeah. You know. They're asleep at 6 a.m.
Oh, it's what I'm talking about tonight.
Oh, great. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Video it.
Oh, actually, I have been recording this whole thing, so if anybody has made a comment that you want redacted from the record, let me know. Oh, yeah.
You sent it to Salt Lake like this. I got to work with.
Is that up?
Can you believe it? Listen to those two.
Yeah. So for anyone, it'll be a password-protected file for teachers that weren't able to make it.
It's on brojud.com.
Eventually, it will be there, yeah. So...
Well,
that's why we have it.
How was the family home evening at the beach?
You read the newsletter.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, with the riptide and everything. Didn't lose any children, so. Yeah. Okay. Let me switch gears then. Okay, I promise to stop talking by at least 8:30. So, oh, it'll happen. It will happen. as long as this thing works. If it doesn't work, then all bets are off. There we go. Okay. Now, one of the best things you can really do for your students is to train them. For those of you who were able to come to the Chicago Symposium that we had, I showed that clip of Elder Bednar talking about how he trained his son to edge the lawn. If you haven't seen it, you can go on the website. It's there. It's kind of a funny story. For those who weren't there very shortly, he was famous in his neighborhood there in Arkansas for how nicely edged his lawn looked. And, well, eventually he wanted to give that responsibility over to his sons. The first few times they just demolished things. Things did not go very well. But as it goes in any training, you initially take that hit on the front end as you are training people to do something. And so what a great time with the beginning of the school year to take some of that hit on the front end when you can really set up some things at the beginning. Use the newness of the school year to say, hey, we're going to do some things a little bit differently. Those of you who are seniors, if this year doesn't look like last year, that's okay, because I want to train us all together to have a classroom experience that will make it so I'm not the only one who's teaching. Because we can really turn our students into agents of learning if we honor their agency and let them participate in the learning process. Okay? Now, I have a funny video that illustrates this. Okay? Now, it's an awareness test. If you've seen it before, please don't give away the punchline. But if you have not yet seen this video, then see how well you do and see how aware you are.
This is an awareness test. How many passes does the team in white make?
Go!
How many did they make?
13.
Well, let's see if you were
14.
Right. 12. Or 16.
We've heard 12 to 16, so.
The answer is 13. But did you see the moonwalking bear?
Is it's really easy to miss something that you're not looking for. And our students need to be trained to look for things in the scriptures, because often, for a lot of them, early morning seminary is come in, plunk down, endure something for 50 minutes, maybe make a comment to get the teacher off my back, or listen just enough so that if I get called on, it's not going to be embarrassing. But if we can get away from the I'm just enduring this mentality to I am a participant, I am an agent, I am learning something, then it's going to help out not just your classroom experience as teachers, but to help them throughout their entire gospel career. So, in the Gospel Teaching and Learning Handbook, if you'll turn over to page, I believe it's page 20. Is that right? Yeah. Page 20, there are some scripture study skills outlined that if you could teach these to your students using your particular personalities and skills, it would not only bless your experience as a teacher, but as I said before, our students' role as learners in the classroom. There at the bottom, it says scripture study skills and methods. Now, I've broken this out into the major topics where we teach them to mark and annotate, to ponder, to ask questions, to define difficult words and phrases, to visualize, liken scriptures, cross-reference, compare and contrast, make lists, look for connections. As we do these different things, these are things that will come intuitively to some and be completely foreign to others. Personally, I grew up with a father who told me that he invented the scripture glue-in. So, I know that's not true. my uncle invented it. Which they all claim they invented the glue in. But scripture marking was something that I grew up with. I would wake up most days, I would go into the front room, and there would be my mother with her scriptures, marking her scriptures. And so marking your scriptures was just something that just came very naturally to me. When I was a missionary in Germany, we baptized a young man. I gave him a set of scriptures and a marking pencil, and he refused to write in it because it was a holy book, and you don't write in holy books. I think it probably would have been wrong for me to take my particular scripture involvement culture that I grew up with and to superimpose it on him and say, no, the only way to get something out of your scriptures is to mark. Because your students are going to resonate with different aspects of participating in their scripture study, and it's up to us to present a whole lot of ideas how you can do that so that they can pick which one resonates with them, because the goal is not necessarily to have them mark just like you do or to ask questions just like you do, but to participate in the way with which they are most comfortable. Is this hitting home at all? Okay. It's for me, it's one of the most exciting parts about teaching is to figure out, you know, Jim in the back who comes in, puts his head down, and the hoodie right over the top of his head. How am I going to get to that kid? What can I do to help him out? And, well, for me, it always came through teaching my students to ask good questions. It's not just a skill they will value in seminary, but as they learn to be critical thinkers, it will help them in high school, help them throughout life. And at least this was my experience where I was teaching seminary in Utah. Critical thinking skills weren't always upheld as something to be admired. Because a lot of the students, they're coming... I give rides to four Southside kids to seminary in the morning, as I was telling you. And one girl, she was like, yeah, I had trigonometry homework last night, but oh, I was so grateful I have one of those books with all the answers in the back. And I was just thinking, okay, are we teaching this girl critical thinking skills or hoop jumping skills? And public education, for a lot of people, is just learning how to jump through hoops, which to which there is some utility. I mean, I feel like I have my bachelor's degree was in hoop jumping. But it taught me some necessary life skills. But I really learned critical thinking at home with the Father who got us to ask questions about the Scriptures. And I'm so thankful for that. Here's a little video from Elder Bednar about one time when his son came to him with a question and how he used the Scriptures to teach him about, well, this is something you really ought to figure out. He presents the Scripture in a way that his son doesn't really get, but as he prompts his son to further work with it, there's some critical thinking that takes place, and you can see what happens to help his son find an answer to a question that he had.
Let me give an example. In Jacob, there's a verse that says, "For because of faith and great anxiety, it truly had been made manifest unto us concerning our people what things should happen unto them." I'm going to tell another silly story that illustrates that verse. One of our sons was an assistant in the priest's quorum. And he said, "Dad, we're having an activity with the Laurels in 2 weeks. Do you have any ideas about what we can do?" And I said, "Mike, get your scriptures and read Jacob chapter 1, verse 5, which is the verse I just quoted." We were riding in the car, going someplace, and had our scripture, so he whips this out and reads it. "For because of faith and great anxiety, it truly had been made manifest unto us concerning our people what things should happen unto them." I said, "Mike, does that help you?" He said, "Dad, I love reading scriptures with you. Now, would you pay attention and answer my question?" My question is, we're having a priest and Laurels activity. I'm in charge of helping to pull this off. Have you got any ideas? I said, "Mike, read the verse again." So he read the verse again. I said, "Did it help you this time?" Now, he got a little bolder. He says, "Earth to Dad. Dad, watch my lips. Can you help me with the priest and Laurels activity?" I said, "Mike, read it again." So he read it again. I said, "Mike, in this verse it says, 'For because of faith and great anxiety.' Anxiety in this verse doesn't mean stress. It means anxious regarding concern. Now, have you thought about this before asking me? No. Okay, what are the things that should happen to the priests and the laurels as a result of this activity? Well, I don't really know. Then I can't help you. Why don't you be prayerful and consider what things should happen unto the priests and the laurels as a result of this activity? And then come back after you've thought about it and we'll talk. Well, a day or two later he came back. Dad, it would be so cool if the priests and the laurels could understand this about the work of proclaiming the gospel. I said, you're right. Now, if you wanted priests and laurels to learn and understand that, what would you have them do? And he started coming out with these great ideas of stuff to do. I said, Mike, you got your answer. And you got your own answer.
One thing I worry about with the youth of the church is the degree of apathy that some of them take toward gospel topics. They just don't care. It's just going through the motions. But if we can reveal, not to us, but to them, gaps in their understanding, if we can show to them how this really applies, then they do just about anything to fill in that gap. Teenagers hate being confronted with their own inadequacy. So we expose a knowledge gap and then use the rest of the period to fill it in. That's kind of what I try to do with that awareness video. I mean, some of you saw the moon. Did anybody see the moonwalking bear the first time through? Maybe it was because it was too dark. I apologize for that. Set you up for failure. But in a way, what that does is it's like, oh, I guess I better pay better attention. Something. I know for me, as my knowledge gaps are exposed, I'll do anything to fill those things in. I love a good question, almost better than I love a good answer, because the question gives me opportunity to exercise my agency in trying to figure out the answer, whether I'm raising my hand or not. A well-developed question is gold in a teaching situation. Now, this talk that I gave to you, it's from Elder Jeffrey R. Holland. This was given back in the 70s, entitled Daddy, Donna, and Nephi. Bizarre title for a talk. But we're not going to go through and read the whole thing here, but if you just kind of peruse over these four pages, you can see that there's a dialogue between Dad, whom I can only assume is Elder Holland, and Donna, who I can only assume is one of his daughters. But if you look on the first page, middle column, we'll just look through some of this. Middle column, it's the paragraph that starts with, let's assume. You see that there? Okay. Let's assume that a father is helping his 12-year-old daughter get started in this first chapter of 1 Nephi. She is a delightful, fun-loving girl who has tried reading the Book of Mormon a few times, but hasn't been able to get too interested. We might overhear a conversation something like this. Dad, okay, sweetheart, let's read the first chapter of the first book of Nephi. It's only 20 verses long, less than 2 pages of print. Think about it as you read. Ask yourself questions. Donna, what kind of questions? Oh, questions like, why should this be the first chapter of the book? Or, what does this verse have to do with that one? Donna, well, I don't know anything about those things, but I do want to know why we don't start off reading about those Jaredites. They were here first. Dad, that's exactly the kind of question to ask. I was that impertinent primary child who wanted to know where the foolish man's house went. You know, the rains came down and the floods came up and the house on the sand washed away. Jake, where did it go? Well, Helaman chapter 5 verse 12 tells me it went to the gulf of misery and endless woe. I didn't figure that out till I was in high school when a teacher asked me, where do you think that house went? I was so used to having my primary teachers at least say, oh, don't ask questions like that. And so my critical thinking to some extent was kind of squashed. And I hope that we would do, now teenagers sometimes will just ask questions to try to get you off your game. And so you have to distinguish between an honest question and a question of impertinence where it's just a teenager trying to... I remember there was a substitute who I used to get when I was in my junior English class there was a substitute who would come, and you could get this guy off on anything. So we would pass notes around to each other, and we would give each other topics that we would try to get this teacher to mention. And that was just awful of us, but hopefully you'll have students better than I. But when you can discern that this is an honest question, you know, for example, why don't we start with the Jaredites? Dad, that's exactly the kind of question we want to ask. And here, you've waited at least a minute and a half to ask it. Now, when you begin to find the answers to questions like that, Donna, Daddy, surely you're going to tell me the answers if I can finally think up the questions. Dad, love it. Tut, tut, impatience. When's the last time you ever heard someone say tut, tut?
Yeah.
The 70s, right?
Yeah.
When you begin to find the answers to questions like that, the whole Book of Mormon will open up to you. You'll find out why the Book of Ether should come exactly where it does when you read it very carefully. We'll talk about that when we get to it, which is near the very end of the book. Now, let's start reading. And then it's just this fun dialogue between Elder Holland and his daughter of going back and forth and what formulating questions about that first chapter of First Nephi might look like. So I gave that to you just so you can read that on your own. If you think about it, the restored gospel was the result of a question. A fun little activity, if you'd like to do this, it's a game that sometimes teenagers play at parties, is where you get them all to get up out of their desks, and it's just called the question game, where someone asks a question, and so they lock eyes with someone so that the person knows they're being asked a question, and they ask a question, and then that person asks someone else a question, and asks someone else a question. And if anyone answers that question, then that person has to sit down. So if you did not respond with a question, then you're out of the game and you have to sit down. Just to kind of promote, we're asking questions today. Please ask questions about anything. That kind of puts pressure on the teacher to know what's going on. But this answer is perfectly fine. I don't know, but I'd be happy to look it up. My students love, even my institute students, even most, they love when I write them an email and say, hey, I really appreciated your question in class this morning. It took me a while, but here's the best answer I can find for that. Because they know I respect their questions, and then they just want to come back, and they bring even more and better questions. It really is one of those things we can do to help honor the agency of those we teach. So, like a question led to the restoration, like a question led to John chapter 3, learning about being born again, there seems to be something about the asking of honest questions that reveals to the Lord that we want to find out more about this thing we call mortality. I'm very thankful to teachers who honored my questions and taught me how to find answers on my own. So, as you come up with questions, don't always find the answers to them automatically. It's real fun to go to class with a genuine question that you can honestly ask your students and that you don't have a preconceived answer for. Because then they feel like, well, I'm helping my teacher out. But if you just play the game, if it's not genuine, I mean, these teenagers, they have hypocrisy meters that are finely tuned instruments. I mean, it'd make the government just jealous of. I mean, these things work so well. They have to be honest. They have to be genuine. The more authentic we can be with students when it comes to questions, you're going to see some really neat things happen. Like I said, I'm thankful for teachers that taught me, that first of all honored my questions and then taught me how to find my own. And that section here in Gospel Teaching and Learning, you'll notice we didn't read a whole lot out of there. I plan on using in-service to just point you to resources so that you and the Holy Ghost can work on how do I now apply this to my particular situation? But the gospel's true. The Lord loves those who seem to ask honest questions. And he's been very good to me as I have asked mine. And I share that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Paul and Jake. We will close with Sister J.C. Parsons will do our closing prayer. And thank you all for coming.
Thanks for not swearing so that we can post the recording.